Okay.
So what's going on, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Just had to eat some pizza and take a shit. But dude, damn. I did like a really, really, really deep dive. Been following you for years, but
man, yeah, I appreciate that, man.
You are fucking all that in a bag of chips. You're cool, man. You are real. And we're not.
I try to be as real as possible. I mean, like at the beginning of my UFC career, it was a little bit like, I don't know, man. Conor McGregor was just shining like a star at that point, and they needed somebody to go into the flyweight division and stir things up a little bit. But I kind of went too far with Ian. But with all of that other stuff aside, I feel like, yeah, it's been a pretty interesting process. This whole fighting thing, man, it's definitely a different outlook than what I've been expecting. But, I mean, I'm still happy to be in this game.
You can't be going too far with somebody's nickname, Uncle Creepy.
That's true.
I mean, it's like...
that's great.
That was during the change in the Me Too era, but yeah, definitely can the UFC is not gonna allow Uncle Creepy to get fights anytime soon. But I guess we're rolling, man. We're doing it Rogan style. You know, we were gonna do a pretty, but I'll add the bells and whistles later. We're being joined by Jared Brooks, the underscore monkey god. Jared, let's start with your name. Been following you forever. Do you have a Batman origins type of story? Were you chased by monkeys and now you have a like a monkey chess plate or something? Like, is there a reason you drive a monkey mobile? Like, what's the origin behind the name?
Man, I get asked this question so many times.
I'm sorry.
Like, no. It's absolutely fine. But I don't really know, bro. It just came out the blue. I mean, my manager used to call me Spider Monkey, and because I can go against bigger guys. I feel like when I roll against bigger guys, then I'm a lot better. But yeah, they always tell me that my strength is like, I'm like a 250 pound guy. So, I mean, if you want to encompass into that, I mean, there's been stories about how my name has been, you know, made up or something like that. There isn't really an origin story. It's just, I'm the monkey god, man. That's how it goes, baby.
New world. He was raised by monkeys.
I'm sure there's got to be something, man. You're very modest. You're a cool guy. You're obviously an amazing athlete.
I'm really into like the monkey god. Like, because at the point in time in my fighting career, I was really into different types of religions and stuff like that, and studying and manifesting that into whatever, you know, I could bring it upon. And monkey god just popped up, and I was like, well, my manager already calls me the Spider Monkey, wants me to go with that nickname. And then I seen that there was a lot of other people with the name Spider Monkey, and I was just like, I'm way better than those guys. I'm gonna call myself the monkey god.
Well, let's stay with that, man. Again, we're being joined by Jared Brooks. Fights Friday, I believe, with the time difference in America. One championship, next generation, we'll call it Thra, on Bleacher Report Live. It's a great app. It's easy to navigate. Please, guys, watch this fight. Jared's in peak physical condition. I'm sure his opponent, Lito Ottaweng, dude, this is that flyweight or lightweight? What the hell's going on over there? What are they feeding you guys in Singapore?
I don't know, bro. They're just no, I'm just kidding. But
I was like, oh shit.
Oh yeah, one is definitely the most professional promotion I've been in. The way that they run things, man. I've just been in this hotel room just for like 2 days chilling. Just got here 2 days ago. About to get this fight done.
Do you have a video games or Netflix, or is it just like masturbation on the regular?
I came here ill prepared. But Jack,
came where?
But Jack and Jill.
What are you jacking?
No, I'm saying Jack and Jill. You know, it's like...
Oh my god.
I like to sustain abstinence.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm all about that life. I don't really do a lot.
Were you raised religiously?
Was I?
Were you raised religiously?
No, bro. I'm just kidding. I get. Yeah.
Okay. All right. No, because you mentioned spiritual. Mentioned the gods. I was like, all right.
You are great. I like how this interview is going.
I appreciate it, brother. I was like, we got a Corey Sanhagen on the hand right now. I mean, I respect it. It's whatever, you know, get you through the days and the nights and get you through the weeks, especially in a time like this. Personally speaking, grew up Catholic, even though my name is Isaac Feldman, as Jewish gets. Like, no joke. I was confirmed. I didn't have a bar mitzvah. Raised Catholic. I am Jewish by name. That I believe my name gets me jobs, but then they hire me. They're like, where the fuck are you from? And then to marry my wife, I had to get christened because she's Orthodox Christian in her country. So I'm all three.
Dog, I am dying right now. You did stuff with the UFC before?
In terms of interviews?
Like asking Dana questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's actually, well, it wasn't with the UFC. I worked for a three-letter network. It was a pretty prominent network there.
NBC?
That's where I'm at now. It's CBS. Dana CBS, White came in studio. It was before UFC 205, right when I assume you guys were in conversations talking about Uncle Creepy around that time. It was November 2016. Dana White came in studio. He hinted at a Floyd fight with us on the podcast and broke news. And then the rest is history. And now I get to talk to you sons of bitches often. And I love it because I've trained martial arts. Obviously not on your level, man. Not obviously on the monkey god or somebody who's been undefeated in high school wrestling, has a beautiful mixed martial arts career, who's ragdolling UFC flyweight champions. Everybody recognize. Holy shit, go watch the highlight of him ragdolling Deveson Figueiredo, like freaking suplex style. Beautiful takedowns. I'm not on that level, but I am in the mix.
Hey, since we're having this kind of interview, I'll let you know something about like Deveson and like the stuff that was going on before that fight. I was messaging him something like, you know, I was just trying to get in his head. Wasn't trying to like put it out to the public because I mean there wasn't really any Brazilian people like paying attention to what I had to say, but I was trying to get into his head personally, and he was just sending, he sent me like two pictures of this dude that just has a really long schlong.
Is it the black guy at the edge of the bed?
Yeah, it's that.
I don't know if I should ever release. Now I'm saying it. You said it. What do we call it? Sharon's story time. I forget what comedian does story time. No, Bert Kreiser, the guy with the no shirt, story time or secret time. Yeah. The secret time, something like that. Rashad Evans, we were on Radio Row. The freaking connection went zoo. Nothing could be recorded. He goes, "Hey, you want to see a picture of my dick?" And he shows me that photo. I was like, Rashad, really? And I was like, dude, I
wish I could use that.
I'm sure there's a white version out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. But but back to that story, he keeps on calling me my gay. He's like, "You coming to Brazil yet, my gay?" And I'm like, "What is going on? What are you saying right now?" And he would
now it obviously didn't intimidate you.
No, I sent him a picture of Donald Trump with a little winky, and yeah, that's pretty much all I sent him back. But he
seems like a cool guy, though, right?
He had a trash talk. He was a funny trash talker. That's for okay. Sure. He's hilarious.
He seems like a cool guy. You talk about his gas tank, he might get offended. But you talk about dongs, little or big, he seems like a cool guy. I mean, he's a fucking hair salonist. Like, You
can... Yeah, I wish I would have known that at the time. I'm pretty pissed off. I like UFC champion is just the fucking.
I know, man. I know how you feel with hair. Apparently, the quote with you and Lito Atawang, your opponent, in a couple of days on the ONE Championship Next Generation. Again, we're being joined by Jarrett Brooks at the underscore Monkey God. Apparently, you got some fetish with hair, man. You wish you would have known about his salon background, and now you're chopping off mullet.
Oh man, I guess, man. That's hilarious. But yeah, Lito, he got a little offended when I talked about cutting off his mullet. I was literally kidding about it. But at the same time, I do kind of feel bad because I know that his culture, the warrior aspect of that was through a mullet, and I didn't know that until
back to religion.
Until that,
Samson.
But we all come from different places. You know what I'm saying? We all come from different cultures and lives. So, at the end of the day, this is war, and I'm sorry that I said that about your culture. But at the same time, I'm here to take you out.
Yeah. And I don't know if I didn't see, obviously, the full interviews. I saw the awesome, beautiful promotion. They got the hip hop track under you guys talking shit, showing highlights. Not really talking shit. You're just talking about a mullet and it's in text. Like I have these arguments. I have to add on Twitter like emojis because there's different text and words. He did say he was going to eat you. He did say he was going to eat you. If I'm weighing the
it's a little stairs, weird. It's a little weird to me. He's a little weird to me saying he's gonna eat me.
I would say he crossed the line. I mean, this isn't Figueredo, you're my gay or something. It's not that.
You're my gay.
It's not that line. He hasn't gone to that line.
Oh
my goodness! How was the training camp, brother? You look phenomenal.
It's good, man. I put in a lot of work and a little bit of time. You know, I usually work 4 days a week at a dispensary.
No shit.
I'm literally a greeter. I'm literally a greeter. So I train in my spare time right now, which I've never done. It's my first job ever because of COVID. I was fighting in Japan and then Japan just shut down and I'm not fighting in the US under 4 bans. You know what I'm saying? Like you get paid like 25 bands and then you're expecting, you know, all these other promotions to give you, you know, that kind of money. But I mean, the weight is worth it at the end of the day, you know, but yeah, don't get me wrong. I had a couple of fights in between that, but the problem was it's COVID just completely screwed the pooch up as far as getting fights, but I've been training my ass off. I've literally been training almost every day. You know, in and out of work, just trying to keep, you know, I'm when it comes down to when we get in the circle, I'm going to take it very personal and I'm going to try to get him out as soon as possible.
Now, it's funny, the contrast. I just spoke to a fighter who's 2-2 in his amateur career, who's been on the mats with guys who've went to Cornell and wrestling. And I'm not the hipster of wrestling. I know like the Dakes, the Burrows, Jenkins. Like I've even found out locally, Chris Wade was a state champ. Like I'm getting into wrestling more, getting into boxing more. I'm learning about it. He attributes everything, his workmanlike attitude, his just modest attitude, just the lunch pail, do my job day in and day out, whether that's construction, again, he's early in the game, or whether that's on the mats and training and just grinding out and trying to avoid grinding his body to dust. But he attributes it from obviously people he grew up with, but also an extensive wrestling background. And my man, you have one of the best resumes in active MMA today. Would you say that this confidence, because you seem extremely cool, man. I'm talking to this kid. He's fighting in February. you're cooler than him. I'm sorry, Theodore. You're cooler than him, and you're about 48 hours to your fight, man. Where does this come from? The coolness, the confidence? Is it just simply that you worked your ass off and you got the goods?
You know, at a young age, I don't want to seem like it's so hard not to seem like a douchebag.
I know, but right? It really is.
It's so hard not to come off as a douchebag, but but you know, as I feel like I've lived a way different life than a lot of other people, and it's not privileged, that's for sure.
No Dana White privilege over there.
No, it isn't even. It's just life, period. You know, like the way I put myself up, like it's like Bane, you know, off of Batman. It's yes. like that dude was in the darkness until, you know, he made it out, and then he made it out, and, you know, he's cool still, but he's about his business. And, you know, I keep a thin shade on my face, but when you're in the cage with me, it's completely different. And I know that just cause, you know, people like my dad know that. My dad knows deep down inside, my brother knows deep down inside, the person that I am and the person I'm capable of, or the people that have rolled with me, or the people that have, you know, been in my corner, or been in the practice room with me. Those are the people that really know me deep down inside. And they're like, damn, yeah, this guy is for real. This guy is, you know, the person that he claims to be. And the true believers are the ones that I keep by me. And, you know, I like the people that don't believe also. I absolutely love that. That's what motivates me. That's what fuels me. But they haven't lived like me. For sure. I mean, they might live in, you know, very hard countries, stuff like that. But the way I've grown up, it's completely different. It's completely different.
Yeah. There's been some, again, we're being joined by Jared Brooks in a couple hours. I have to figure out exactly what time or day it is. Jared is a very humble, modest, and nice guy for rolling with the punches. There was a whole freaking wazoo behind the scene going on. Or there was a whole Kalamazoo, shout out to the Michigan, going on in the background with the figuring out the time difference. I'm an idiot. He's smart. He's fighting Lito Adewang, one championship, Next Generation 3, BR Live. Please take this as a compliment. Please. I had the pleasure and the honor of speaking to one Colby Chaos Covington in studio, in person. UFC 225 fight against Rafael Dos Nachos. I'd never said that until now to give him some tip his hat. His father was there. His father has the USA tattoo on his calf. His father's a big support. It seems almost if Colby was in a different era, he'd be just like an amazing soldier. In my opinion, I feel that he wasn't exactly true to himself in the beginning or where he currently is. They say that he was maybe a 1 to 2 to 3 personality, and then all of a sudden he becomes this 8, 9, 10 personality. This is no knock on Colby, but I believe you're doing it down the middle, the balance. You're speaking your truth. You're obviously getting it done in the cage. Obviously, Colby gets it done. You get it done. But I believe Colby's wasting too much time. I believe it's just... you can just burn so much energy trying to come up with these wonderful nicknames. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, we benefit from the entertainment, but I think he's losing a little steam in his fights. It's a trickle-down effect. It may not be easy to see because
that's what it'll do to you.
An extra interview. You, my man, have, as the kids say, keeping it 100 from day one, calling out people, ragdolling them. You live the true life. And I believe we're learning a lot about folks like Joe Rogan, who was the kumbaya weed smoker with Elon Musk. Now he's trying to take down networks and be an ultimate contrarian. We're learning about a lot about Hawani. He leaves ESPN. Now he's heel wanting. Now he's starting beefs. Now he's cursing for his first time. Oh, where the fuck was that 5 years ago? My man, Jared Brooks, and I try my best to live by this. You live your truth, brother. And I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that, man. Well, thank you.
You're going to be a champion, my man. I believe it's all part of the journey. People may look
at Joshua Ponte. Joshua Ponte knows what's up. I think he's upset on Joshua Ponte.
Is it what's his last name? Pazio?
It's Pacio. One championship, man. As far as the lighter weights go, they're really exciting. Been watching some of the commentating is great. Mitch Chilson and Michael Chiavello. Those guys are great watching them as well. The lighter weight classes, man, they're really killing the game right now, and it's really fun to guys. And I'm almost fans of the guys I'm gonna be fighting. But I think that, you know, like people like Joshua Pacquiao and stuff like that, I think that I can really beat him. And it's really exciting to know that I could beat him and possibly maybe move up and fight Adriano Moraes or Demetrius or King Dad.
My goodness, man. You put on a fantastic performance, which I believe you will. Lito Atawang is saying that, he's wrestled wrestlers before. He survived grapplers in his previous fight. When I say
that guy was like 39. Hexagedi was 39 years old. He's 39.
I see you, man. You're trying to be modest right now. You got that like poker grin that you got like an ace king, and then all of a sudden an ace king, two kings came out and an ace in the flop, and you're like, woo.
Hey, Lito, I am not mistaking Lito of anything, man. That guy is ridiculous. That guy is like probably one of the most exciting fighters that you can watch in one.
Great answer.
So he's gonna be a test. I ain't gonna sugarcoat shit about that. But at the end of the day, I'm a huge test for him compared to him being a minimal test for me.
Were you serious about the manifest stuff?
I manifest everything, my man.
You know if you won this fight already.
That's,
you feel that, war coming? You feel
to,
you're gonna
really up to God. I'm not God. I would call myself the monkey God. But I am not God. I am not the all creation. I am not the way that time speak. Anything can happen. I knocked myself out. Remember that?
Unfortunately, yes. And you have knocked yourself out of the interview, Jared. Come back. Typing to you. Folks, Jared Brooks, if you don't know, you should know. Check out his resume. This guy is the future at flyweight. He won't say it, but I will say it. I believe God tests those that can be tested. And Jared was tested every step of the way of his MMA career. Fought Eric Shelton, an Ultimate Fighter 24 alum, in his UFC debut. And the Ultimate Fighter 24 had Tim Elliott on it. That's actually all I remember outside of... Oh, Matt Schnell, Eric Shelton, Benavidez and Cejudo were the coaches. But in his debut, people don't understand this. Flyweights are the most technical fighters in the world. You've probably heard this from Brendan Schaub or Joe Rogan, that if Demetrius Johnson was 205 pounds, he'd be the best fighter in the world. Do you know why they say that? Not to be different, but I believe they say it because his technique is beautiful. His footwork is beautiful. His wrestling, the amount of energy that you use for a move is beautiful. To conserve it. And Jared Brooks is talking about knocking himself out. What that is in reference to, and I hope he comes back again. Follow him at the_monkeygod, Jared Brooks. This guy he's a better person than a follow. I know I will always say, oh, he's a great follow, but he's a better person. And his personality comes out in the cage, on the mic, after the cage. As it should be. You should be able to promote front, back, middle, all ends of the fight. On fight night. Press conferences are fun, but it's in the middle of the fighters cutting weight. The show and Hoopla. The fun part is fight night. And Jared Brooks is one of the best to watch, one of the best to perform on fight night. As he referenced his knockout of himself, I think he was trying to steal a baseball term, hit a 6-run home run when that's impossible. You can only hit a grand slam. And in Jared Brooks' fight against Jose Torres, you're like, oh, he lost by knockout. Oh, man, he must have been dominated. Must have had poor footwork judgment. Must have been bullied around on the fence. Must have lost many grappling positions and exchanges. But that is far from the truth. He was dominating the fight. Actually had Jose Torres in the sky above his head. Went to go for the monster slam. And instead of knocking out Jose Torres, he ended up hurting himself. But I believe Jarrett has learned from that moment in that fight. I saw that fight against Jose Torres, to steal a baseball term, and you knocked yourself out of the interview, by the way. Like, literally, as you're saying it, you knocked yourself out of the interview. I was like, is this guy serious? Like, his timing is fucking amazing. But to steal a baseball term.
Holmes' phone died.
No worries. To steal a baseball term, in that fight, it seemed like you were trying to hit a 6-run home run. And that's obviously impossible. I don't know if you've grand slams are only 4 runs, but you're doing too much.
Yeah, I was trying to completely unleash all of my tools in one basket, and it just backfired on me for sure. I thought I was completely, utterly destroying him, and it really wasn't like. It was something in the back of my head that was just like, yeah, do like almost like a backflip with him on your shoulders.
And you've done it before many times. For people who may not know, you've successfully manhandled men, grown-ass men, throwing them around.
Yeah, I've almost done backflips with people. Like, they call it the Canadian Destroyer, but...
Wait, you're serious about this? You, like, landing on your feet?
Not landing on my feet necessarily, but using his shoulder
on top. They would be on the like. I'm trying to
almost using his shoulder or using my back to manipulate either a knockout or to just try to roll through and end up on top and look like you had a crazy slam. But
can you do a backflip like without anybody?
Yeah, easy.
Oh shit! You're going to heaven then. They say anybody who could do a backflip goes to heaven.
That's great.
I'm working on it, man.
I'm gonna try to work my way up to heaven.
Not God anytime will. Soon. Not.
Yeah, God willing, I'm punching people in the face every day.
No, I'm gonna go even deeper down the darkness.
Yeah, what's up, man?
It doesn't matter where it.
No, not the Bane origin darkness. Dude, yes. You, in your next fight, coming off a loss, which is self-inflicted, which is the craziest thing. It's like maybe the UFC matchmakers weren't watching the fight. Maybe Silva was still around at the time. Who knows? Short notice, you pick up the call. You dominate Roberto Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. The division was in flux literally at that time. Even during the presser, during Dillashaw and Cejudo, the division was in flux, and it seemed like Cejudo had to go over the top. He literally brought a snake on the stage. Like he went over the top. Long story short, the division is saved. But man, you were literally in the midst of all this, an upside down division. You're dealing with adversity on many fronts. I believe that, sorry to make it religious on you again, God tests those that can be tested. My man, you are being tested and you are thriving, not just surviving. You are thriving through these times. I believe you're going to be a champion, man. I see it. You are strong-willed. You have amazing mental fortitude. You have the Rona.
Don't say that over here, man. Don't kill my ass.
Okay, guys, joke. LOL, LOL. OMG, yeah, LOL. OMG.
Don't do that too loud while you're in this hotel room.
Okay, then my point is, do you believe you were built for this? To see the world, see many organizations, and then kind of get the respect? Because I didn't have respect at CBS. I finally feel respected by NBC, a different league, a different organization. I'm being promoted. I'm not fighting anymore to get my name out there. I am who I am from day one. The respect is there. Do you feel that it's like maybe this had to happen? Some of the changes along the way?
At the end of the day, I'm kind of glad that, you know, the fights were falling off and I had to go through all of that to actually see that I am truly happy without fighting, you know, and that is a huge thing that I thought that I could never get over, you know what I'm saying? But without fighting, I'm still happy. I'm still a happy individual. And I think that that's a huge thing that needs to be going through fighters' heads, because a lot of fighters have a lot of mental health issues. And I was dealing with mental health issues in the UFC and right when I got cut in the UFC. So dealing and seeing what the real life was outside of fighting, because I've been doing this my whole life. This is my first job that I've ever worked in my whole life. And it feels great to, one, have stability underneath me to where I can build my money from the camps and then push that on, because, you know, it's very hard to find, you know, sponsors around the area, especially. But yeah, doing that has made me feel like I'm a self-made man. I can be a self-made champion. I can do this by myself if I have to. But the main driving goal is just in the back of my head. It's my dad. My dad always pushes me, and he's always, you know, been that guy in the back of my head. Like, no, you made this choice. You're going to keep on going with it, and you aren't going to stop until you get to where your goal is. And if he sees me slipping off, then he'll be on my ass again. And I got to give great kudos to James in that time off, my coach, James Lee. I can have mental breaks all the time. Fighters have mental breaks. They just, you know, they don't feel good in practice one day, and then they're just like, damn, I suck kind of deal. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, my coach is always just like, no, motherfucker, you're going to win. You're going to come out and you're going to do what you have to do to win, and win, just manifesting that in my head every day, you know? And so that's a big key on to, onto where I am. And he's, James always had my back. Ever since I moved to Michigan, I moved to Michigan just for James. James went, we were in Chechnya, and that was the first time he ever coached me.
You went to first Chechnya?
I fought Chechnya, yeah, for Akhmat. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I don't know if you saw the thing on HBO Special. It was like HBO Real Sports.
I have no idea.
Who's the who's the owner?
That's the president of Chechnya, bro.
The guy who wears the sweatsuits? He has like a statue?
Like he has sweatsuits. He has this thing on the top of his head all the time. He has a big beard. He's kind of chubby. He's the president of Chechnya.
Oh, my God. Were you nervous?
Literally. All right. So this is crazy. This is another like direction we're going, but I'll go down this direction. It's kind of a crazy story. So, yeah, James, I needed a coach to go to Chechnya with me. So James is just like, fuck it, I'll go with you. You know, my manager knew him really well. And I met him once in Las Vegas. And we end up going there, and the flight wasn't too bad. It was like maybe like 10 hours, something like that. And we end up having to take another flight there, and you know, it's starting to get a little bit more sketchier. I'm seeing guys with, you know, AKs standing outside of or ARs, whatever, standing outside of the airport, and I'm just like, well, like, damn,
this isn't JetBlue.
Like this is pretty crazy. Yeah. And then it started getting a little bit scarier when we were in the van to go to the hotel.
You know the movies where they put the black thing over
everybody? Yeah, like it wasn't anything like that. Like
we were one step
away. Full of fires, but they would stop us every checkpoint, like every 20 minutes. And it was just dudes with ARs. And I'm just like, damn, what if these are Chechnya rebels or something like that? And they just chop our heads off because we're American. And yeah, like that was something definitely running in my head. And then at the weigh-ins, they were all dancing. They were doing that like crazy Chechnyan dancing, like Twitch dancing, like the Valentina Shevchenko dances and shit. Okay. Yeah, they're doing.
These were men doing it or women? There's a big difference.
Men and women.
Okay, take your
men
pick.
And women. They have these troops of kids too that like do like synchronistic dancing and stuff like that. But there was like a dance circle. There was like somebody, there was a circle, and then somebody would just come in and just go hard, you know. And then the president comes in, he just boom, just killing shit. And then
everybody has to like applause probably even harder, like Kim Jong-un. Like if he was dancing, yeah. It's like,
yeah. And I'm already like very energetic. I'm trying to steal the energy of the room, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm around all of these like fighters and stuff like that, and usually if you could steal everybody's energy in the room, then you're gonna perform, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just stealing the energy of the room. And then one dude was just like, go out there, and I was just like, all right. Went out there, I did a windmill into a head spin, and they went insane, absolutely insane. It's like they never seen it in their whole life. They're going that crazy.
Did I miss? Do you do this in your fights?
Huh?
You do this in your fights?
No, man. I do. The problem with that is, you know, you've got to, in my head, you've got to finish in order to do something crazy like that, you know?
Yeah, Michelle Pereira does it if he makes weight.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know, man. I come from Indiana, to where people are just, I don't know. It's like if you're a show off if you show your capabilities. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how America is a little bit too. But it's not like I've been to other countries, and they really endure, like when I, you know, put myself to my limit, to where I actually am, like where my energy is naturally lying, because I have to dumb it down for people usually, you know.
That's probably this is what I'm speaking about, man. You're being yourself. I heard an amazing quote. Somebody said, I want to be surrounded by people who have the courage to be themselves. And it's like, I grew up with a bunch of people who V-necks, spray tans, slicked hair, Long Island, New York, Strong Island, you know, there's a bunch of ally kintas walking around, or yeah. Al Yaquinta, as he told me.
Who the fuck you think you're talking to?
Not bad. Not fucking bad. You're getting there. You're getting there. You're fucking getting there.
You need to fucking talk like this, yeah?
Well, now you turned it into like Boston. It's like, how we doing, guy? Huh? What? It's the Bill Burr is a lot choppier.
The Bill Burr, that's great.
Jersey.
Bill Burr has the most Boston accent ever.
Jersey sound like Long Islanders, but they don't take showers. Shots fired. Dude, Frankie Edgar tried to come at my boy Aljo. They were trying to do a fight maybe a year and a half ago.
Aljamain Sterling?
Yeah, and had the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Edgar, and I was like, no. I was like, Frankie, I'm sorry. I love you. You're my guy. Northeast, through and throughout, ride or die. But no. There are state lines, brother.
Yeah, there is. At the end of the day, that's how she rolls.
He got really Jersey on me. We speak about people being themselves, man. No, Frankie's a fucking...
He's a real motherfucker, that's for sure.
But he's a warrior, man. Speaking of Frank, who are your idols in growing up, man? Were you a tough Ultimate Fighter 1? That's when I leaped on. I saw Diego Sanchez. I was like, this guy's amazing. Forrest Griffin was fun. And then Anderson Silva from there. Who got you into the sport? I mean, was it just wrestling and then people around you were talking about mixed martial arts?
Nah, bro. It goes way deeper than that. Okay. So my dad, he, I was born the same year the UFC came out. So
93, baby.
I was like maybe 6 months old. I don't know. But my dad was just super into it. My dad was just my whole family was just notorious street fighters. So, and everybody around the area knew not to fuck with my family.
Seriously.
And it was pretty bad. My dad got into some serious trouble a couple of times.
Did he box or was it just like nasty street fighting? Because there is a difference.
So my whole family wrestled, right? And they're all just
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're all Kentucky hillbillies. My uncle was our first state champion. He was like 1976, he was state champ. But, oh my god,
you really are born in it.
Yeah, my dad was just really into fights, and he would take me to cage fights like when I was like six and seven and stuff like that. And then when I got into wrestling around that age, it just kind of transformed. Like I would bleach my hair every other tournament to try to be like Tito Ortiz. Tito Ortiz was my idol, like my first, I would say my first idol along
with Kevin. We know what that means. How many Jenna Jamesons stains do we have over the teenage Jared Brooks room?
Here's
my idol, man. I'm doing it for Tito.
For Jenna.
This is for Jenna.
For Jenna.
Dude, talk about trading up. He traded up.
Oh, man. He just should have ended his career after the UFC. If he would have just ended his career after the UFC, I would have been like, damn, Tito, you really ended it on a really good note. But he's done fucked that up with Bellator.
I gotta argue. He knocked out Chuck.
Ryan Bader, too. He beat Ryan Bader. Give him that.
Wait, post
it? Yeah, Bellator. No. He knocked out Ryan Bader.
Don't lie.
I am not lying, bro.
Fake news.
No, dude.
I'm pretty sure I follow. I know he first Liam McGeary, Chael. No, was it Chael or Wanderlei? Who the fuck was it? I think it was Chael. Yeah. He tapped Chael. I'm trying to remember. Post UFC Slamenko. Oh, I don't remember the Stefan Bonner fight. When the fuck did Bonner fight in Bellator? What?
I don't remember. He
choked out Bader UFC 132.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Bellator. Yeah, my mind must be all jumbled up.
All white guys look the same, man. I get it. See, you're not racist if you see it the same way.
Ryan Bader looks like. Oh man, I don't want to sound like a dick, but I got to do it. Ryan Bader looks like what's his name that plays Deadpool?
Oh, okay. Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds with Down syndrome.
Oh my goodness.
He bless does.
Yourself, Jared, bless yourself. Please. Bless myself twice for you.
I'm sorry, Ryan Bader. I mean, at least Ryan Reynolds is like one of the most good-looking dudes in the world. I'd rather be like a Down syndrome Ryan, whatever his name is.
Let me twist it. He looks like a tough Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Yeah, tough Ryan Reynolds. Go ahead.
Mentors. And again, we're being joined by Jared Brooks, fighting in a few hours, could be in 20 minutes. I'm not sure exactly the time difference. Again, Lito Adewang, one championship, Next Generation 3. Follow Jared, Instagram, Twitter, OnlyFans, @the_monkeygod. Who are some of your mentors and idols outside of Tito and Jenna?
Oh, Jenna.
Big fan of her work.
From there, it was like, you know, Kevin Randleman. Boss Rutan. You got
it's pretty cool. You got the fight in Pancras too.
Yeah, super crazy.
In terms of like encyclopedia, you check off all the boxes. You fought in Akhmat. It's called Akhmat.
Akhmat.
You fought in Japan, Russia, now Singapore. Where else do you want to fight? The irony of this all is that you're from a place called Warsaw, which is in
Warsaw, Indiana,
Poland.
Yeah,
it's like it's almost your destiny that you were gonna travel all over the world. I literally haven't left like 50 miles of my house like growing up, and you're going to fucking everywhere around the world.
Where are you at right now? In New York?
Long Island, which it's about 40 miles from Manhattan, but nobody goes to the city really.
Yeah, I feel you.
You go for work, but it's like you look at city people as soft. We say like there's no wrestlers that come out of city. There's no athletes because there's no fields there. Maybe they play basketball.
It's too media affiliated.
It's true. That was a blanket statement.
Yeah, it's a blanket statement. There's too much media in the inside of the
dude. There's all that fucking media and money. It's like. That's New York.
Well, no, it's just how people's personalities are. Like, especially when you're around, you know, like that Kim Kardashian vibe, you know, all those girls like in New York that are just, you know, strutting their shit around, and every girl's wanting to be that girl, you know.
I'm happy.
Like in the country, you ain't really seeing that. In the town, they're just going on with their business and just doing their work and living regular lives, not egomaniacs.
I don't know. You seem like you're looking in the camera to like look at an ex in the eyes. Like you're saying, you see me, bitch? You see me? Yeah. Go down the Bob's bar and make me a fucking whiskey sour, bitch. I see it. You want to talk about it? What was her name? What was her name? Jenna? Can't say Jenna. I'll know you're lying.
Oh God, I can't. Wow, bro, I'm
sober.
I would say
I'm sober. I've been 6 months sober.
That is perfectly cool.
CBD at your dispensary?
Oh, we sell everything, bro. We sell THC, CBD, we sell
flower, CBD, pre-rolls.
We got everything, bro.
What's the website? Can I buy it?
You can possibly go to Treehouse. That's the CBD company right next to us, which we get our CBD from. But Greenhouse of Walled Lake is where I work, and we're mostly just a cannabis dispensary. We just sell weed, if you want to call it that.
Websites. I literally, you could go back and watch. I literally spoke about, I said, Jared Brooks is what every fight fan should want. Somebody who is just 10 out of 10 promoter, fight night. It's pure. There's no hiding it. All the feelings and emotion came out. The camp was done. The fight is won. His hand is raised. All the emotion comes out. this is a real promotion at its core. And then I said, you know, there's some fighters who went when the cameras are on in between camps, they're, what's the website? Promote. We need to work on your promotion game, brother.
Yeah, I have a lot of issues with that as far as
me too.
As far as like as far as trying to find the right fit and
You're too quiet. And then it's like you're trying to have a happy meeting. Next thing you know, you're doing coke off a stripper's asshole. And you're like, is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted, America? No, we're not. We're trying to get Jared Brooks, just the cool guy he is, being himself. We don't need the crazy sex tape to come out.
Yeah, we need to get exactly, some man. Licks. I'm just trying to be me in the meantime, man. Like, I mean, I work really hard. You know, I might seem like a happy-go-lucky guy, but I mean, I've worked to where I am, and I've worked to get everything I have, and so I'll be work when I'm not in the gym. I'm over at the dispensary, and then when I'm not there, I'm just here with my dog for 2 hours a day, and then sleeping, and then going right back at it again, and it just makes me so much more hungrier. And the things that are encompassed in my life and the things I can control, that's what excites me.
I literally, bravo, by the way, that was fucking beautiful. Jared Brooks at @_monkeygun, IG, Twitter, OnlyFans. I literally just said to my wife, I go, you can just give me the controllables. You can't control what you can't, control what you can. And that because anxieties, like you said, man, there's so much shit going on. But I believe your confidence comes from your hard work. Is that true?
You know, I think it's just encompassing throughout the years. You know, I've been doing jiu-jitsu since I was like 9 and been doing boxing since I was like 13. And so I've been wrestling since I was 6. You know, just doing all that and then starting Muay Thai at like 15. Stuff like that, and then I had my first fight at 14, and then
MMA. You know,
I had 29 amateur fights.
Holy
so from 14 to 20, I had 29 MMA fights.
What advice would you give to Theodore Savitno, who I just spoke to? I literally just told him there was a guy that Hawani spoke to, Mayo Ev, this British guy who. I think he was like 28-2 as the amateurs. I think we're going to see more of MMA getting from the boxing. You're already ahead of the curve, but I think moving forward, you're going to see the build up the amateur, get your mistakes out there. Why did that happen? The so many amateur fight. I think it's a genius idea. I mean, like Lomachenko had 10 or 14 pro fights and he had like 200 amateur fights. Why were you such the head of the curve? Is this your dad who was kind of managing things behind the scenes who said, no, we need to, was there a certain strategy? This is, I'm fascinated by this.
My dad was just pushing. Like I said, he was just pushing me and, I don't really know. He's so quiet.
But isn't somebody like, dude, your son had 10 fights. He's good. He had 15 fights. He's good. He has 20. Let him turn pro. Like it takes a certain amount of confidence that, maybe your dad is just the source of the confidence where it's like you have such a strong backing that it makes your defense even stronger. Like bravo to excellent dads. Bravo to excellent dads.
Yeah, my dad is a badass. He's definitely a hard ass. He's a hard motherfucker, that's for sure. But yeah, he's one of the best dads that anybody successful would want as a dad. He's definitely pushed me to my highest limits in the world. So, bravo to my dad. He's done me good. But, besides that, my dad, he's done a lot of bad in his life and he's wanted to change my brother and I's perspective, you know, on the world. And he's done it. He did it, man. My brother is way more successful than I will probably ever be outside of MMA. He's definitely, he's just working remotely at his house. So who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to just be chilling on the couch, on the computer, remotely working?
You're so damn modest, man. I love it. It's like, dude, you're traveling the world. It's like, I'm sure he has the same ass cheek print in his couch for now, like 15 months. I'm sure he's got his ball hair all over. Who knows what the hell, like, he's down the rabbit hole.
He bought a new jet ski. He's chilling, man. He's living in Florida. He's living his best life, man.
Florida remote is different story. That's a different story.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. He won. He beat us all.
Yeah. He's in Inglewood. He's where all the rich old people are.
How old is he?
He's only 3 years older than me, man. If my brother had a 9-week camp, I bet you he could knock out Adriano Moraes.
He's that nasty with the hands. Are we talking kickboxing fight or MMA?
I'm talking MMA, period. My brother is no way a kickboxer, but
better wrestler than you.
He's a stronger wrestler than me, and that's saying something.
What weight was he?
He's 35 in college. The 133.
He's stronger than you?
I would say he's stronger than me.
I don't believe it. Maybe there's a technique he knows on you. He knows if he like tickles you behind the knee, you just go like, "Oh, Jenna!" Like
it's his hips. It's like the generation and then the generation. Like I wouldn't say he's technically smarter than me in the game of mixed martial arts, but he is just a brawny bully, like
a Coleman,
like a Yoel Romero, just throw you for five on your dome.
Okay, that's scary. That's not
and fun. Not get tired.
And not get tired.
And not get tired.
So he's Yoel minus the rice and beans.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's not that yoked and ripped. But my brother is just thick. I'm not thick at all. I have skinny legs. I have a skinny torso. You know what I'm saying? Like, my brother is just that. Like, his whole leg is my torso. And I wish I had that.
Oh, man. The Brooks household growing up, man. That must have been fucking chaos.
Yeah, it really was. It made me the man I am right now. That's for sure. My brother and my dad, they were the biggest hecklers and the biggest bullies you have ever met in your life.
Well, when you look back, man, I mean, you're already in a good, like, reflective state of mind. You understand that it was all part of building you to where you are. A lot of people don't realize that till later in life. But
oh man, I bully kids all the time. Yeah, I don't care if they're 12 to 18.
Are we talking Call of Duty? Or are we talking?
No. If I'm in the room with you, like if we're in a wrestling room with you, and I see you just joking around and smiling, I'll tell you to shut the fuck up. I'll be like, get to your shit and do your shit. You're here to do one job. You're here to do your work. Get your work done, then joke. You know what I'm saying?
Is coaching in your future?
I've always coached. I still coach kids, you know. It's just if I'm one-on-one with them, or if I see that they need that like fatherly guidance, like how my dad gave me, you know, and they're trying to go down the same road I am, you know, I might as well to just kind of spread that out a little bit. I'm not going to be a dick necessarily, but I'm going to make them know that I'm serious with love, you know. Because that's the only way that you can really push people that are naturally talented. The people that aren't naturally talented, they'll push themselves because they already know where they're at. People with natural talent, they never know where they're at because they don't know their own talent, you know? So when you don't know your own talent, that's when you got to be like, you're here, motherfucker. You need to get your shit, you know, there, you know? But or else you won't grow. People with talent sometimes won't grow, and they need to put the hard work underneath it.
It's amazing what you said too, like coaching or teaching with love. I heard an excellent podcast with Lex Friedman, who he has a wrestling background. I need to figure out what exactly it is. I know he does judo and jujitsu, and he wears ties a lot. And he speaks about CEOs. He said Elon Musk leads with fear. The Google guy leads with love. And I think it takes more energy to lead with love. Because fear is easy. Like, my father lived with fear. This guy from Israel who was in the army, who knows how many Palestinians he's killed. He comes home. It's like, yep.
Yep.
Isaac, you are fat. Stop eating pizza. Like, it was good for me. It was good for me. But what's the fear? I have a baby boy. He's almost 1 year old. I want to lead with love. Oh, and it takes more effort for love. And I appreciate you said that, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as it, like, if I see that a kid is struggling and I'm pushing him too hard, you know, he might not want to do the sport again. And I don't want to be the person that makes him not want to do the sport. I want to be the person that drives him to really enjoy it. I don't care if we don't have to even do a double leg that day. We can play dodgeball. We can just chill. You know what I'm saying? Isn't even about the sport. It's one, building a connection, and two, with kids especially, man. Like, I don't understand how I don't have, like, I don't understand how I have a job right now when I could have, you know, like 50 parents around Michigan. And I'm literally 125 pounds. I can work with any kid from kindergarten to high school to college. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's how I could be making my money. But it is a little bit stressful being a workout partner.
And it will always be there. Like that, that career path.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But I'd rather be an MMA coach. I'd rather be somebody that's trying to strive for real, true greatness, in my opinion. Which, I mean, you can win an Olympic medal and stuff like that and still be great. But, dude, the trials and tribulations into fighting, man, I promise you, you will never, ever get a harder sport than that.
Question then. What if MMA becomes an Olympic sport? I think it would have headgear and shin guards, and they would have to do 5 minute rounds because, you know, everybody would die 15 minutes, 3 weeks.
Like, it'd be like the MMA World Championships, what's going on right now, like the one that Jose Torres won. Like,
what? I've heard of the combat. I've been watching Sambo Championships. Pretty cool shit.
Yeah, they did the amateur world championships or something like that. And,
am learning so much shit. There's a world championship?
Yeah, the amateur world championships. Like, Jose Torres won that 1 year.
It sounds like you want that fight back.
I was just thinking about that.
Like, what is he even doing, though? No disrespect.
He's fighting for Brave.
So you kind of.
I don't know.
You kind of passed him.
I don't know, man. He's making money. He's making money with all them Saudis, man. Saudi Arabian motherfuckers got money, dog.
Got the A-Rab money.
Give me that money, shit.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, dude, to be honest, I wish that I wasn't like. I wish I could go into multiple contracts. You know, like. How I was when I was with Pancrase, I could fight with, you know, World Series of Fighting and then Pancrase and then go to Chechnya and then, you know, keep up. That's how you really make your name around. But now, I mean, nothing. I'm one FC. I am completely content with being those guys. Those guys are amazing promotion. They promote all of their guys really well. Only thing that I'm fearful of just a little bit is I'm American, and you know, I can get an American fan base over there, and I can even build a Filipino or Malaysian fan base. But anytime that I go against anybody from the Malaysian area, I'm going to be enemy number one no matter what. And but at the same time, I can be the heel but be the good guy at the end of the day. And I think that's how I'll end up trumping into being one of their best champions.
I didn't want to ask this because I know you're in a tough spot, but it seems like it's a comfortable chair. So,
yeah. Oh yeah.
So you speak about your style, you as a person, persona, speaking your truth, obviously backing it up, walking the walk, talking the talk. Wouldn't that go back on what Chachri said? years ago, I heard that he's like, we are different. That, I mean, should he just allow the fights to play out? Like, is he going to step in to say anything? Dana White has made it clear that he's like, I don't give a fuck what Colby Covington says to Kamaru Usman. He's like, I don't care. Yeah. And it's very smart. It's very cool. It's how I would treat it. Politics, religion, just it's whatever. He's drinking with Dana White with the Muslim Khabib there. He's like, he's literally.
Man, I would never try to hurt anybody's culture or like, that's why I meant with like the mullet thing. Like, I felt really bad about saying that because I didn't know it was part of a Filipino culture.
I didn't know so, either. He didn't even say that in the promo. See, that's the thing too. The promo team didn't even like say, because I'm sure he said it as my culture and religion. See, the promo team cut that out too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it could just be, you know, like hearsay or something like that. But like at the same time, it's okay that they did it. You know, I'm not trying to look like the bad guy, and I'm not trying to look like a villain or anything like that.
You're gonna bring them dollars, my man. You are bringing them dollars.
Yes, but I want to maintain my structure as being a man and not selling out my character.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, no strippers, no coke.
It's hard. It is hard to find that middle balance, that Mace Windu kind of mentality. But
it's a purple saber, bitch.
Yeah, like I'm in the middle of the dark and light. I can do both. Let's just say that.
And that's fighting at its purest, man. Dark and light, and
true that.
Literally, when Izzy said that, he's ready for the darkness. Like, I believe everybody has a... I mean, did you ever see that video of George St. Pierre in the hospital? He says you have to be a little off to be in the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm pretty off, that's for sure.
Not really. I think we're just... You're now maybe the third fighter. I brought this up to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
I love Stephen.
Kelvin Gastelum. Who actually got me suspended because he didn't like a joke I made about Mexicans.
Well.
But I am Mexican, I told him. But Isaac Feldman doesn't sell it. They're like, yeah, you are. Isn't it like a 10th uncle? Like, are you you're really Mexican? Okay. I was like, no, I am.
I heard Kelvin's actually cool. He must have been cutting weight or something.
It was before UFC 234, months before he was getting ready for Whitaker. And you remember he had a chalupa the night before the fight and he couldn't fight her. No, Robert got sick. I'm trying to make fun of Kelvin, but it was Robert who didn't show up. He did not like my and he is a cool guy. You see him hang out with Uriah Hall. You see him, he does the broadcast.
Yeah, the guy's a pothead. How could you not be a cool guy?
That's what it was. I fucked up because I didn't talk about like the chachi.
Did you not smoke question. Weed?
Who?
Kelvin.
He didn't like me bringing it up. And I was high during the interview.
No.
I was baked.
Like, what was he expecting? Like,
I looked at the camera and I said, I'm high right now. I go, thank you. I said my old boss's name. I said, thank you for no drug testing. He was so awkward. He was coffee analyst, slicked hair, suit Kelvin. That's what I think it was. I think he was confused. It was a very nice studio. There's a lot of executives. And then he has this guy in a Hawaiian shirt with tigers. My brother says I look like a Filipino casino waiter.
His atmosphere changed real quick, I guess.
Yeah, it was hot off
the. So he changed his mentality a little bit.
It was a bad job in the. I should have brought up that. I might bring up your weed suspension. What do we have a hooker in the room?
Huh?
Do we have a hooker in the room? Is it that time of day?
It is not a hooker. It's James.
Is Barrett Brooks getting his rocks off?
No, it's James, my coach.
Oh, what's up, James?
What'd you say?
I said, what's up, James?
James is like, who the fuck is that?
I don't know. I really think it's a hooker.
I'm just getting, this is an interview.
Does he got to go to sleep? Sorry, coach. My bad. I'm keeping him up. This is my fault.
Hold up.
So while Jared Brooks kicks the hooker out of his room. No, I said after the fight. I said after the Jared, no. I love you, man. Good luck with the fight. I truly believe you're going to win. There's bigger and greater things, man. Your journey, everything seems like on point. My God, you must be a superstar when you go back home. Good luck to you.
I don't know about that, bro. I mean, when I do go back home, I get some love, that's for sure. But the fight game, if you ain't LeBron James, you ain't Israel Adesanya.
LeBron doesn't fight.
I know. I'm just saying, like, LeBron James, if he was to get a fight, then he would sell like a million more.
Matt Mitrione goes back to Indiana. He's getting over the pants handies wherever he goes.
Are you kidding me? Matt Mitrione, when he goes to Indiana, he's getting handed a fucking burger and fries and going home. That's what he's doing in Indiana. Dude, have you ever been to Indiana?
No. I want to.
Yeah, go over there. You'll see.
I like Matt, and I like you. Seems like it produced cool
some
people.
Some corn stalks and some hay. Maybe a few nice towns with some lakes. There's some really, they're always nice people, though. Always great people. Indiana people are great people.
It sounds peaceful.
It is peaceful. Yeah. Just farming life. Jason Aldean.
Well, it's all balanced. You're in crazy cities now. You're fighting for terrorists. Not Shatri, everybody. I'm not going to mention the name because he'll like. I'm not going to mention the guy. Jared Brooks, the world traveler. Where in the world is Jared Brooks? He is fighting one championship, next generation. Thra, that's three. Three.
Hey, what's your YouTube channel? Is it Ike?
Ikedagon.
Ikedagon.
I'm waiting to get sued by the UFC for the Octagon. Ikedagon.
That's why, yeah. They shouldn't sue you for that.
But the Ikedagon.
Hey, man, keep on promoting yourself in the way that you're doing. And I mean, this has been definitely one of my favorite interviews that I've had inside and outside of the UFC. So keep this up. I mean, I think that your vibe is great, and the questions that you ask are not like, you know, out of this world or too comfortable, you know. So I appreciate that, man, and it's been a fun conversation.
Likewise, brother. Seriously, that means a lot. I really appreciate it. Thanks, man. And have a good fight.
No problem, brother.
Kick ass. Again, follow Jarrett. Instagram, Twitter, Grindr. No, just kidding.
That's Davis and Figueredo, man.
Oh, my God. What a way to end it. Full circle.
Go check out your homeboy.
Oh, my God. Full circle. Jared Buston Brooks. Full circle. Amazing. Let's end it on that. Brother, good luck with everything. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate you too, dog. Peace out.
Peace.